this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, you want to hear about my $100,000 investing mistake? My thoughts on Kobe Bryant? Maybe my favorite Warren Buffett quote? What about my best tips for networking as an introvert? And maybe my guide for greater productivity? And what about my politically incorrect thoughts on millennials, mindset, money, and more? This is going to be an epic show. My friend and longtime client, Jason Capital, he grilled me at his office, and our conversation covers some of the most important and controversial opinions that I have. Plus, I even turn the tables on him and start asking him about sales and persuasion. He gives me an amazing tip for closing clients that I actually use the next day to make a $5,000 sale. So this sales secret and so much more is revealed in this really entertaining episode that we filmed at Jason's office overlooking the beautiful Newport Beach coastline. And that's where we were masterminding about our upcoming events. And he has his high status summit, and then I have my perfect life retreat. And you can learn more about my event that's coming up on November 8th and 9th at perfectliferetreat.com. So hey, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. And you're going to want to listen to this epic episode at least twice, probably three times or more, because it is jam-packed with gold nuggets about making money, growing your network and your net worth, and changing any area of your life. It is really fantastic, really cool. And so Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by The Perfect Day Formula. That's my best-selling book about how to own your day and control your life. Now grab your copy at freeperfectdaybook.com or download the audiobook from Amazon so you can keep your motivation and your momentum going after this show. And don't miss what Jason has to say about my book on this show.
Hey, what's going on? It's Jason Capital here, and we're doing something a little bit different today. I'm hanging out at Team Capital HQ in beautiful Newport Beach, California with my man, Dr. Craig Valentine, with the proverbial handshake, as we always do.
Right. That was a solid one.
He
comes in there.
I wasn't sure where you were going, to be honest. Like this guy over here. I thought you were going to slap.
There's also the California thing where you slap and then you just pound.
Oh.
And that catches people off guard.
So yeah, yeah, awesome. Yeah. And or you go like that, you go the over the top.
What's the Canadian way of doing
this? I think it would be just going in and going like that. Maybe, I think. I don't know.
So Craig doesn't follow trends, he sets trends. So whatever he decides next, that's what you're going to see in Canada.
Yeah, the Godfather will come up with his own handshake, I think.
And he'll come up with it when he's ready.
I will say one thing. The LeBron James 19-move handshake, I mean, come on, dude. You are like almost 35 years old. That's a little much. We know that you're LeBron. You don't have to have a 19-thing handshake. Like, did Kobe have a 19-thing handshake? I'm sure he did not.
I don't think Kobe had a handshake with anyone.
Right, right.
He was
Kobe was just Kobe. Actually, can I talk about Kobe for a second?
Of course, let's go right into Kobe, yeah.
Have you seen, so in Tim Grover's book, Relentless, which I'm sure you've read, he talks about how the guy does this with the ball in Kobe's face. I actually saw that highlight on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's anybody else on the planet. Like, maybe some of these martial arts guys would not flinch. But the guy, like, put the ball, and Kobe's, like, didn't even acknowledge, didn't flinch, didn't acknowledge it, and was already, like, one play ahead on the guy.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing book.
It's Matt Barnes who does that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kobe, his shoulders, like, he doesn't, there's no, shoulders rise.
Nothing.
Up, nothing.
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 And you're just like, all right. I got a lot to learn from this man now.
And people are afraid of like asking for the sale on the phone. Matt Barnes is shoving a ball in your face and you don't Kobe could get on the phone and close $1 million today. I truly believe that.
And I'm super interested as to, you know, I know that he's getting into business stuff.
Yes.
I want to see where he goes with it because I haven't heard much other than he was getting into it.
So he lives down the street from me.
Sure.
So, which is like my claim to fame.
Yeah, sure.
You see that there's a 24 jersey right there. Kobe is my man, right?
Yeah.
So, but he, so he lives in Newport Beach. He just started a venture capital fund with the guy who's a billionaire, and they, this is what they're doing together. They're looking for investments right now.
Got it.
So if you're at home and you have something that you would like Kobe Bryant to be an advisor and investor in your business, I would look into that.
Do you follow what the Golden State guys are doing? Like, I know that, I think it's Draymond Green. Is it that?
The players?
Yeah.
No.
There, some of those guys are heavily invested in Silicon Valley. And there's one, like, there's been articles in, like, big, long articles that I've read in Entrepreneur, not Entrepreneur Magazine, but in San Francisco Entrepreneur Magazines about those guys getting into it. And what's the guy whose name starts with the I?
On the Warriors?
Yeah, on the Warriors. I'm not sure. In Guardio, or is
it? I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. I think there's him and then
to Draymond Green.
Is it Draymond Green?
Draymond Green, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure those two guys are heavily into it. Now Kevin Durant's into it too. So it's very interesting to see, like, do these guys know enough where they're not going to lose their money?
Yeah.
Or are they getting into it and they're just going to end up, you know, out $5 million, which won't be a big problem, hopefully, for them. But it's interesting because they are in the center of it, right? So they hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of them that are really, really into it too. Not just like, oh yeah, I'm doing it for the fun and for the names and the recognition, but they're really into it.
Like Ashton Kutcher, for instance, right? He's heavily invested in that stuff.
Yes, that's great.
Not just as like, I'm famous and I'll help your brand. Like, he's really...
Right, I'm going to go and make way more money doing this. I'm going to disappear from Hollywood. That's how into it he is.
Very interesting. Yeah, well, you mentioned the point about you hope that they have money after their... Do you remember a guy named Vin Baker?
I remember the name.
Okay. He played, I think, for the Supersonics and the Milwaukee Bucks. He was like the first pick in like 95. At some point in his career, he signed a $90 million contract. A couple years after he was gone from the NBA, he was broke.
Right.
Went bankrupt. Today, at least last year, an article came out, he was managing a Starbucks. $90 million contract, managing a Starbucks today. So...
Well, I mean, Mike Tyson blew $300 million.
Yeah, he's legendary blowing money, right? But it's like, that's why I always think about like the argument when people are like, well, when Donald Trump is walking down that street and he looks at the homeless guy and he's like, that homeless guy is $9 billion richer than I am.
right?
Well, the thing is, I could give that homeless guy $9 billion and fast forward 10 years, he's bankrupt again. Donald Trump is $9 billion in bankruptcy. Fast forward 5 years, he's a billionaire again, right? So it's like, once you master the inner game of money and understanding how value and value extraction and money and all these things flow and deal flow and all that, once you get that stuff and you just avoid stupid mistakes and with your money, you're gonna be just fine. In fact, let's start there. We'll just start there. So obviously your-
I thought we started a while ago, but if we wanna start
so now before, here's a good little thing. There's this NLP hypnosis guy who says that a good thing to do is at the start of a meeting or a sales pitch or something, at the beginning, you go, all right, so before we begin, and then you actually begin. So their guard is down. They think you haven't started. You just get right into it.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Got it.
It's pretty good.
I thought you were going to say you let them do a whole bunch of stuff and then say, okay, you guys ready to begin now?
Yeah. You say, before we begin, tell me how much money would you save in the market right now? Oh. Right? Like you just, before we, it's funny. But anyway, so your forte is you have expertise in a few different big areas, right? Yeah. Time management, productivity, making seven figures from the internet, I say, would also certainly be in there as well. But investing is something that you also do quite a bit of as well. And I know you don't talk about it a lot, but it is something.
I'm interested in it for sure.
Yeah, it's in your wheelhouse for sure. So for someone out there who, let's say that they're starting to make money now. Maybe they're in their 20s and maybe they finally hit six figures or they're getting close to it or they're getting up there. And they're like, you know what? Figuring out how I'm going to get food on the table next week is no longer an issue. I have money. I want to be smart about this. How can I use this to actually start creating wealth for myself? What are the first couple of things you think they should look at and start doing?
Well, they should go to Warren Buffett's rule number one, which is rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, see rule number one, okay? Because I have, and everybody will lose money. That is just something we all will do. But if you know that rule, you'll lose less money, okay? And what that really comes down to is you're gonna be super excited by some guy who's gonna give you a sales pitch on, you know, invest in my tech company or invest in this, that, or the other thing. And so one of my biggest mistakes that fortunately is no longer a mistake, but we invested in a sprayable melatonin product, which had patents and all this stuff. And we knew the kid who was running it, and he was a kid at the time. He's 25 years old, he graduated from Harvard. And we thought, he's going to do a really great job with this. But then he got distracted by something else, and it wasn't run as well as we had hoped. And we had to go and kind of take it over and take it back. And now it's back on track. But there was a point there where I was almost going to be out 100 grand, which was like, why did I even do this? I shouldn't have done, gone down that route. I didn't do enough background work on the person. And I do like this phrase where it comes to investing in companies, invest in the jockey, not the horse. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, if you get a hot, idea from somebody like, oh, you got to invest in this thing, and you meet the person who's going to be running the company, and you're like, this person is not a good person, but this idea is really hot. Well, the idea is the horse, the person is the jockey. And if you invest in the jockey, not the horse, what that means is you would pass on that one, because this person might have a great idea, but they're not going to execute. They're not going to follow through. Right. They're not going to do the great job. And so there's been a lot of people who have lost a lot of money because they've invested in hot ideas, but the company behind it has gone bankrupt or screwed up or something like that.
All right, so you said that you probably didn't do enough research or background on this person, this jockey in this particular instance. If you could go back and do it again, what would you have done differently?
Oh, well, then I would just, I do actually do this now with people that I have a couple of Fitbody boot camps, and our friend Bedros runs that company, and I bought a few, and I was thinking of buying more. And so I would give people this test. I would say, okay, here's the outline of a weekly update I want you to send me. The weekly update is due at 5 p.m. on this day. And as soon as it was sent 1 minute late, they were cut. Mm-hmm. They were cut. They might have continued to send the weekly updates in, but I had already moved on. Mm-hmm. And I realized, okay, this person is always on time. Some days they're early. Like, if the deadline is Tuesday at 5, and you have a whole bunch of stuff on Tuesday, don't say, I'll send it Wednesday because I'm really busy on Tuesday. Send it Monday.
Sure.
And so that is one of the things. I have a vetting process. And so even if it's probably a couple of months, that's still not long enough for me. It's just really be patient with it. That's a Charlie Munger thing. We sit around and be as patient and patient as possible while everybody is out doing stuff. And we just wait until the fat pitch comes along. And you have to know when the fat pitch is there. So that's what I do now. I really want to invest in a lot of jockeys because I love ambitious young people, like the people that come to High Status Summit. But I've been burned enough to know you got to get to know somebody for a long, long time.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, and run them through some tests. And, you can use the idea in the game, get them in a whole bunch of different environments and test them out, and you accelerate the relationship. But you just need to be patient and then figure out, okay. Another thing to mention is that there's always going to be a lot of things that come along. Do you want to ask me a question? Because I can remember this
point.
Keep
going, yeah.
Okay. There's always going to be great opportunities that come along. So, you missed out on Bitcoin. It's okay. It's okay. And my friend Simon Black wrote an article about this, that even though you could have made a ton of money in Bitcoin, there's so many opportunities that come along. And had you shorted the British pound after the UK voted for Brexit, you would have made more money than if you had gotten in at Bitcoin at like $400. And so that just shows you, like, not to be watching currency markets or anything, but to realize that there is no such thing as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great opportunities that are going to come around. And, one more thing about Buffett before I let you ask me some more questions is, Buffett says if you don't understand it, don't invest in it. And so I didn't understand Bitcoin when it was $400. And so, I still fortunately got, made some money from it. But I understood it when I got into it. I understood the risks. And if you don't understand a business, if you don't understand the hot idea, don't put your money into it. Just, figure out what's going to work for you, what's going to work out for your comfort levels, your stress levels. Because if you're like, oh, I got to go and buy some real estate, and you buy a house and you're spending all your energy trying to rent it out and dealing with people who don't take care of it, is it really worthwhile to get into real estate if that's going to cause you so much stress, it's going to suck you away from becoming great at making money?
Sure.
So at the end of the day, make sure that your investments are just making you money. But I wouldn't expect, for most people watching this, your investments aren't going to make you super wealthy. They are a great place for you to store your wealth and build your wealth. But at the end of the day, for most people watching, as an entrepreneur, you're truly in control of your wealth.
Yeah. And you know, there's something called abdication syndrome, which is becoming more and more a problem in what I see, especially from a lot of guys, 20s right. and 30s, and even older people also, especially, and it's prevalent in investments where someone, I don't understand the idea, but this person is an expert. They seem really smart and confident about this. I don't need to understand the idea so long as I can bet on them and they'll take my money and invest it for me. Or this Bitcoin expert, he really knows what he's talking about. So let me just do whatever he says without doing my own research and figuring this out. And that's a big problem. If you don't understand, if you're just abdicating, it's a big issue.
And I'm guilty of this. And so one of my first financial advisors, I was guilty of it. I even saw some problems in the jockey. I saw some
But you cover them up, right? You try.
I'm friends with the guy. Yeah. And you know, he sends me a message and he's like, oh man, we made some money today. And then eventually, you know, it gets so bad where you have to pull your money out of it. And the next guy you go to who's smarter and you've done your research and you're like, man, this guy, I mean, he didn't steal any of your money, but he made some investments that were good for him in terms of like the fees that he got. Yeah. And so going back, this actually ties in nicely. When you are working with an advisor, if you go down that route and you don't, you know, do your own trading, to make sure, it goes back to Buffett's thing about not losing money. And one of the most important things you're going to do, and this is why index funds and ETFs are so popular, mm-hmm. is that the fees are so low. Yeah. And you want to get as low of a fee as possible when you are having an advisor. And so you can work that out. You can negotiate with them, or you can figure out, if this person wants to take 1.5%, that's going to eat into your return so greatly over time. It's going to rob you of a lot of money. And I fortunately have a sister who is like alpha. And so she has worked with our family advisor to get the fees like as low as anybody could possibly get an advisor to work with us and take the fees. And, you know, that's the kind of conversation that makes you stronger too, because it's like a sales.
Sure.
It's a sales conversation. A sales being made, 100%, because you're selling the advisor on taking a lower percentage in order to work with you, but it really will get you to adult up pretty quickly.
Sure. And that adds up real quick.
Again, that is, you're not losing, in a way you are losing money by the fee, and Buffett says don't lose any money. So fees are another way. You don't want to abdicate. But if you are going to have an advisor in charge of some of your money, you know, I wouldn't give them all of your money, then you want to make sure you get as low a fee as possible.
Yeah.
And that way you grow your wealth faster.
And doing you talk about like the advisor stuff and doing that research. When I was younger, I made a really big mistake, especially when I was first starting to like make like real money, let's call it. So when I was 25, I was living in LA in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
And that
this April, is on round two. After you went back to Michigan, then started
this,
again.
This was not around.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was early April.
I love it when you're so young when you started. Like round two is 25 years old. I'm 17. You know, I just sold my company.
My midlife crisis at 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Right. But it's April, and I get a letter from my tax guy saying, "Hey, Jason, here is what you owe to the government. So you paid your quarterly last year, but you made more than we expected. So here's what it is." And it was a bill for $516,000 is what I owed. And that was just, there was nothing that I could do.
Right, and you weren't saving for that rainy day because you're in LA. There's not a lot of rainy days.
Fortunately, I was a very precocious 25-year-old, and I could cut a check. I could do that. But that was the most painful check I have ever written in my entire life. And the pain became such a good teacher for me and a motivator, lit a fire under my ass. And I went out there and I searched for a better tax advisor, a better tax team. So today I have three financial advisors who are just advise, and then a CPA and a tax attorney. And they all work together for me. And that has saved me literally millions of dollars just in the last few years, and money I would have had to pay for taxes if we didn't set up our structure in a very legal way, of course, but that has been amazing, right? Buffett's number one rule is don't lose money. Well, there's a couple million, $2-3 million bucks I haven't lost now because of that.
Right.
That
is something that every entrepreneur watching this, you are going to have that moment. A friend of ours, a guy named Tyler, he had that moment. He stepped off a plane. He was with his wife, and it was like this first year of really making it. and he got like an email or a text from his accountant about like, here's how much you owe. And he, you know, it's like a punch to the stomach.
Yes.
Because you're like, I've paid a whole bunch of taxes. You know, and I've worked really hard. And now you're going to come and do this to me? Like, why didn't anybody tell me this?
Yes.
And it is.
Well, they don't teach it. Where the hell are you supposed to learn this stuff?
Right. And also, when you're not making money, you're not thinking about having a really great tax. You know, like this, an accountant's an accountant, but an accountant is not an accountant.
No.
And so this is something.
Not at all.
Like, once you start getting traction, start thinking, you know, not only where am I going to put my money to grow it, but who am I going to talk to protect it? You want to play offense and defense.
100%. It's so.
I would use a basketball analogy, but I don't know like
offense,
what team
defense.
Was.
That's the word.
I guess you want to have a Pistons and a Lakers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Bad boys and a shark. Right. That totally works. It fits. Yeah. Good. But you're like, think about it. When you're in school, in high school, in college, and as you grow up, you're being trained to be an employee, not an entrepreneur, meaning no one teaches you about this stuff because their expectation for you is when you get older, you won't need to know that stuff because you're going to be an employee and they're going to handle the Social Security. They're going to take out the taxes before you get your paycheck. You don't need to know this stuff. Just go along and enjoy your Netflix and chill. You don't need to worry about this shit.
I will say one thing. I had a course in what we call grade 10. You guys would call 10th grade or sophomore year.
Yeah.
We don't use those terms in Canada, but so there was a course called Introduction to Business in my high school. And it was taught by this guy who was an alcoholic. He was stinking drunk and the class was like right after lunch and he was drunk. But he was so good and he taught all of this stuff. He taught caveat emptor, buyer beware. He taught all of this business stuff and like pay yourself first. It was so amazing. I don't know why we lucked out to have this course in my high school. And at that time, I never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. I wasn't one of those people who was like selling lemonade when they were 4 years old. But there was a lot of lessons in that class that I even think of today. And we just got lucky. So it was very fortunate that, and it's just some regular high school in Canada. So I would say most of the time you were totally right.
Well, you got so lucky to have that person there, even if they weren't.
Oh, and even to take, even to choose to take that class, I was fortunate to.
So if I were to ask you, if you were to remember one really important lesson you learned from this teacher, what would it be?
Well, I think it was the phrase that always comes into my mind is like he was also talking about business law and the phrase caveat emptor is buyer beware, and I think that does apply to our investing stuff because what that means is it's like a Roman rule or something because that's Latin, right? And so it just means like at the end of the day the buyer has to be aware of what they're buying. Mm-hmm. And whether you're buying a house, whether you're buying insurance, whether you're buying financial advice, whatever you're buying, maybe you're buying camera equipment or fans that make a whole lot of noise when you're trying to film, you know, buyer beware. And there's a lot of, in this day and age, there's a lot of regulation, a lot of rules about stuff, but you know, definitely Bitcoin, buyer beware for sure. And so you have to be a wise advisor and you can't abdicate, you can't give up all of the control, you have to do the work. You have to figure out, I've made the money, now if I want to make more money, I have to go and do the work, just like I did the work to make the money in the first place. So that was the one that sticks out to me from that.
What was his name?
His name was Mr. Hagedorn.
Mr. Hagedorn. Yeah. Good man right there.
And he kind of looked like a Wiley Buffett in a way.
Yeah. He's one of those, if he hadn't had the drinking habit, who knows, right? He couldn't. Maybe it's Buffett, Munger, and Hagedorn. We don't know. It's possible, man. We don't know. All right. So I think that was pretty freaking awesome. Let's shift gears here a little bit.
Okay.
So you, and if you can hand me your book.
Okay, sure.
I should be holding the book right now.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about something that's actually more valuable than money, which is time.
Yes. By the way, so everyone knows, Craig is the author of this best-selling book called The Perfect Day Formula. How much do I believe in it? At my last summit, we actually bought a copy and gave away for free to every person in attendance there. It's that important. We'll put a link below. Everyone should go on Amazon. Or actually, it's 20 bucks on Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's 20 bucks on Amazon. We can go to freeperfectdaybook.com and get it for free plus shipping.
Okay, so you got two choices. You could go to Amazon and pay 20 bucks, or Craig will ship it to you. You have to pay shipping and handling, but the book will be free. It'll be a lot cheaper. So freeperfectdaybook.com is where it'll be. So why is time? I mean, we've all heard that cliche, right? We go on Instagram. How many motivational quotes do we see a day? How time is more valuable than money. Lost time is never found. Right. All these great, great quotes, but everyone, you know, you double like it and then your life doesn't change.
Right.
How can someone truly, not just intellectually, but truly understand why their time is more valuable than just money?
Well, I mean, just go and burn a $100 bill and then realize you can go and get another $100 bill.
Yeah.
But if you go and burn a night, you know, doing nothing, watching Netflix, playing video games, that, and you leave with that empty feeling in your stomach, you don't get that night back. And I remember when I was a kid, back in the Nintendo game days, I remember playing Super Mario Brothers 3 for an afternoon on a Sunday. And it was a winter Sunday too, so it wasn't like, you know, I should have been out, you know, fishing or something, which I never fished. I don't know why I brought that up, but I remember the, I remember I'd be so impatient. I'd be like, I'd be out of fishing in like 10 seconds. But I remember feeling like, what did I just do with my life? And I was like only 13 or 14 years old. And I remember thinking, I'm never gonna have this amazing Sunday afternoon back. I have to go to school tomorrow, so it's totally gonna suck. I could have done something amazing today. And instead I played 4 hours worth of video games. And I hated that feeling. And so I escaped from that world and realized, then I guess I realized some cliche that time is really, really important. You never do get it back. And you can go and make money. You can lose money. You can do all this stuff. But there's never a story about a guy who like goes to be 70 years old and all of a sudden gets to go back to be 30.
Yeah.
There are no real stories. There might be some movies about it, but there's never a story. Everybody can go up and make a ton of money and go bankrupt and come back. But nobody can go to 80 years old and go back to 20. That is so important. And the older you get, the more you think, take away all my money and let me be 17-year-old again. Yeah. Because, you know, especially if like someone doesn't take care of themselves and they make some bad relationship choices, they just want to like, you know, let me hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Now, even though I feel great and life is amazing, man, there's, you know, it just would be a heck of a lot of fun to experience those times when you were 17 again. And so it's really hard to get young people to understand that because like they're all they think, you know, when you're young and hungry, you just want to go and
you're gonna
get
live,
stuff.
You're gonna live forever.
Yeah, right, you're gonna live forever. Yeah. You're gonna live forever, and like, hey, you know what? I'm just gonna burn the candle at both ends. So, it really is something that I think it's almost like only experience can teach you.
So then, why is it that someone can know this intellectually, yet at 3:30 p.m. when they know they should be doing X, they're just on their phone on Instagram? What is something they can do to like, you know, drive a wedge in this negative momentum, or as an anchor or trigger, something to just charge and like wake them up and be like, yo, dude, you don't have fucking time. Like get to work, get moving. What is something they can do?
Well, you have to have boundaries and systems and alarms and like all these extreme things in place, because this is an extreme decision in your life. And so people are always like, yeah, Craig's the most disciplined man in the world, the most productive guy in the world. It's because I'm the laziest guy in the world. And so I've built these systems, including a system of status, of reputation, mm-hmm. that, you know, one of the worst feelings we can get is being a hypocrite. And so I go out there and I'm like, I'm gonna get up at this time in the morning and I'm gonna go right to work because I've told people that's what I do. I've told millions of people that's what I do. And if I don't do it, I'm like that preacher who's, you know, cheating with the 17-year-old girl. I mean, that's just so hypocritical and that's terrible. Mm-hmm. And I want to live up to the reputation that I've built for myself. And in order to do that, that might mean, you know, there's all sorts of great apps and stuff to block you from going online, to block you from certain sites. There's extensions for, you know, Chrome and Safari that you block you from your Facebook feed. There's all these things and you have to go and you have to build the fence around yourself. Build the wall around yourself so you're in your zone and you're protected from the world. Because these guys who have made these programs, Facebook, Instagram, they did it to make it addictive. They're going out there. I like these guys who have made their hundreds of million dollars are now on this apology tour.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer work for Facebook. And they're like, yeah, you know, when we worked there, like Sean Parker or whatever the guy.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy, who, an Indian gentleman.
I've seen him, yeah.
Chemaranth or something. Yes. Like, they're like, oh, now he's even starting like this society.
And for, a foundation for yeah.
For integrity on the internet. But I don't think he gave all his money back. You know, that he made from building these things, which they are now saying, we totally made it addictive. You know, we're really sorry, or Facebook should be really sorry. And it's like, okay, great. And the guy who built Instagram, the courses that he did at Stanford were like at the intersection of computer science and psychology in order to know how to make people addicted to these things. Uh-huh. And so that's what you're fighting against. And so that's why you have to go to extreme, much like an alcoholic has to go to extremes to stop drinking, mm-hmm. or any addict has to go to extreme to stop whatever it is. And, you know, we were just talking to, you know, your team member here, and he loves to go and totally disconnect, you know, way out in the desert and all that stuff. And you know what? Sometimes you have to do those things. Oh, yeah. And so I have built all these systems around myself so that I can do these things, much like a bodybuilder might build systems around himself so that he's not tempted by things when he's in a diet phase.
Yeah.
If you want to do amazing things, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I can almost picture right now, like, Instagram's anonymous, right? And like you meet for once a week. It's like an actual support group just to get people off of social media. Cause like I'm very detached from it on purpose cause I don't like it. I don't like Instagram, I don't like Facebook. I see them as tools to reach more people and have more impact. So I accept it as part of my life, but I don't like it that much. There are a lot of people who like it way more and they're on this thing 3, 4, 5 hours a day. Like that's where their life is going, the social media thing. So what are some of the specific strategies that like Craig Ballantyne uses to avoid getting distracted and actually getting shit done?
Well, first of all is stop using the phrase social media and instead use it's business media. If you're an entrepreneur, the only reason you should be using Facebook, Instagram, any of those things is for business purposes. Mm-hmm. And when you flip that switch in your mind, you go, okay, this is just like, you know, running an ad in a newspaper or something. We're only going on business media to use business media, and we're not letting business media be used on us.
Yeah.
And that's, I kind of stole that from Jo Pauly. Yeah. She says, use social media, don't let social media be used on you. But if you also just say, it's not social media, that's not how I get in touch with my friends, that's not how I stay in contact with family, I don't use that stuff for those purposes. I only use that stuff to grow my business, to get more clients, to make more money, mm-hmm. and in order to have more freedom. That's what I use business media for. Mm. And if you start there, now you have a totally different concept of what it is. It's not a place to go and check on other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are going in there to do a deep dive on, okay, what's the strategy of this person?
Right, how are they marketing on
it? Yes, you can do that, but don't let yourself get, you know, looking up somebody else's stuff. So you shouldn't worry if you're not friends with somebody. You shouldn't worry if you're not following somebody who you're just following to see what they're doing. That's not what you're there for because these are so addictive.
These are your competitors.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to go like, why are my competitors friends? Those are your competitors. You want to crush them.
Yeah.
This is business. That's the whole point.
Yeah. So when you see that as business media, that's the first place to start so that you can step back and you become strategic mm-hmm. about how you use those things. As you and I were talking about before this interview, is to how to maximize the great tools that those things are, especially, you know, I'm really into Instagram these days and really appreciate learning the ins and outs of it, but you can get sucked into it pretty quick. So you have to be very careful with it.
And okay, so what are some strategies you use for your business media usage each day? Do you set times? Like, how do you do it?
Okay, so for me, what, you know, my reputation is I'm the morning guy, so I'm gonna go on there and I'm gonna do something at a very similar time every day, very early in the morning, mm-hmm. so that people, when they get up and they go on Instagram, one of the first things they think of is, I wanna go and check Craig's story to see his update for this morning. Mm-hmm. And I go and I just do a little gratitude piece. And so people are always in there because that's kind of like, you know, it's like the giving. It's like, hey, we're just reminding you to be grateful before we're gonna ask for something.
Sure.
Another thing I do is I try and do a 60 second to 90 second story. And then I cut that up using an app called Cut Story, which is really cool. And then I cut it into 15 second chunks, run that, and I use that as email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of writing an email with a great subject line and then some personality and then a teaching tip and a call to action, what I do is a story that has a great first 15 seconds that catches their attention and has curiosity built in. And then that makes them watch the second one. I tease but don't reveal in the first 15 second story. Then in the second one, I start going into a little story about it, personal story about me or somebody else that's used the big lesson of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the third one, I'm kind of getting into the big lesson of the day. Fourth one, I might continue into the big lesson of the day, or maybe it'll be right into the call to action at that point. But I tie it in. So it's like, hey, this is worthwhile you watching this because I'm going to give you something that's totally amazing. And then I might have to, if that's at 13 seconds, I'll just kind of trail off because they have to watch the next one.
Yep.
And then And then in the next one, they'll watch and they'll get the personal story. Like, oh, you know, yesterday I watched this girl tell this amazing story about how she's crying at this funeral because she didn't go and sell properly to this person. And then she showed me how to overcome the objection in the next one. And then in the next one, I teach and I give the thing. It's like, wasn't that amazing? Don't you see how, like, if you had more of that, you would dominate your days. In order to do that, listen, you need to come to one of my workshops. I'm going to help you get totally dialed in on that.
Yep.
Just, you know, direct message me, swipe up, whatever it is. And then it's the call to action.
Yeah.
So it's give, 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 and then make the call to action and ask for it.
That's beautiful. So what you just gave everyone here is literally a four-step formula to follow for their stories to close high-ticket clients for your high-ticket
High-ticket clients, products, anything, man.
I've personally found that Instagram is, especially in the story, in the DM, there's a song, right? It goes down in the DMs. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No. Well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, the clubs that you frequent, I don't know if it's played at. I know what kind of music you listen to, yeah.
I don't listen to lyrics, I just listen to the beat, man.
So there's a song that goes down in the DMs. They were talking about like hookup stuff.
Yeah.
But I have found it goes down in the DMs for closing not products, high ticket items, coaching, workshops, consulting, different things like that. It's so intimate. Something about the story in the DM, it's such a one-on-one personal private conversation.
Yeah, and then you got the next level of I can DM you a little video or a picture. I mean, man, you know, you know, everybody out there who's watching this, if they got a DM with a 3-second video from Jason Capital, they'd be like showing everybody, you know, they'd be like, this made my day. And so you can imagine, you know, someone even higher up to me doing that to me. I mean, I'm going to be like, wow, it's amazing. Like, you know, I'm connected to this guy, Ed Mylett, who's friends with Bedros. And Ed Mylett is a very successful guy in the financial world. He has 500,000 followers on Instagram. He's going to come in and do a podcast with me up at Bedros's place. But, you know, I'm pretty stoked when a guy like Ed Mylett and I are going back and forth on Instagram. That's pretty darn cool that he's making the time for me. And so I feel that way. And Jason's going to make you feel that way if he ever does that for you. But we can all do that for any of our prospects and our customers through the direct messaging. And I don't know how much longer this is going to happen for Instagram. I call this like the golden age of Instagram, because eventually there might be another business media, or Facebook is going to go and mess up Instagram like they messed up Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this window of opportunity to do that high ticket consultation and closing there that is really, really powerful.
Yeah, so like, for instance, what he's implying here is if you are not taking advantage of this right now, then you are sorely missing out. You could probably have 3 clients paying you. Even if you're just starting as a coach, client, or consultant or anything, you could probably have 3 or 4 or 5 clients paying you $1 to $2,000 a month right now that you just closed off Instagram, even if you only have a couple thousand followers, right? This is how you make big money from small followings. Like, this is the time. This is how you do it.
Yeah, yeah. Bedros calls me the king of EPF, earnings per follower. Earnings per follower. And here's a tip. I mean, Vince Del Monte is really, really great at this, because he's in our Empire Mastermind group with me and Bedros. And I said, Vince, you're just going to go and sell these things on, you know, sell sit-ins to your mastermind on Instagram. And he went into it full force. And he does it every single day. He did a great one today. And what he found was, and I found this too after experimenting with a few things, is it's not where you really teach them a lot of great content that leads to the most sales or the high ticket stuff. It's where you just get them fired up. Oh man, you're on the outside looking in. If you're sick of that, if you are sick of being on the bubble, you know, just send me a direct message right now. Let's talk about getting you to one of my workshops, and we'll make sure you're on the outside, inside looking out, and you're on the insider circle.
Yeah.
I mean, those things sell way better than, oh, here's how, you know, here's this 3-step formula for this, that, and the other thing. It's the call. It's like getting them fired up.
You gotta get the emotion thing going.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then, because you're kind of alluding to it. What do you think, like, what is the state of content on the internet right now? Is there too much content? Is information now becoming commoditized? If someone's trying to build an online brand, should they just be 3 steps to this and 7 foods to never eat and 7 texts to never say? Like, is that what they should be doing? Is that still valid? Do people still care about that, or is there too much?
That's a great question. And so I have a friend, a guy named Ben Hardy, who is the number one most read author on Medium.com. Mm-hmm. He has articles that have been viewed millions of times. He has so many great tips on it. But if you read his articles, they're like 23 points on something. And I'm like, I don't want 23 points, but I guess the world does,
yeah,
because those are his most popular articles. You see, back when I used to look at MSN.com for ideas in the fitness space, it was all like lists of like the 50 foods, the 100 things. I'm like, I guess this must be working.
Well, here's
but I don't want this.
Here's the question. So he's millions of people read his articles on him, right? I haven't read them. I've heard you and Mike Koenig's mentioned him to me in the last 2 days. So I'm gonna check him out. All right. But the people, the millions of people reading those articles, do you think those are action takers and high-level entrepreneurs, or do you think they're armchair spectators who find it's false content? They think it's content, but it's really not, and they just draw their shiny objects. Shiny list syndrome is what
they have. It could be, because you know what we're going to call those people? Clappers, because that's what you get if you like something on medium.com. It's like give a clap. You've seen the clap thing. So we're going to call those people clappers, and I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it, because I was talking to Ben. He just did a book launch, and he goes, I'm a little bit disappointed with how my book launch was going. Before he started working with Joe Polish and Dean on some stuff, he was like, it's harder than I thought, because now I realized, you made the connection, smart kid here, that he really only had clappers on his side.
Yeah.
And clappers are not action takers, even on a $20 book.
Yeah.
So very great point not to chase followers, clappers, that type of stuff. It's all right to have a smaller following and get higher dollar
values.
That's
also part of the problem. If you go out there and your whole strategy to drive traffic and attention is these lists, right? Because we know the science of creating a list that people can't resist, which rhymes, right? Like Joel Marion has this mastered, right? He could write you four fish to never eat and never eat number, like the avoidance based stuff, the loss aversion based stuff, the list, the concrete. It's not like four things. It's like four foods or four fish, like the concrete. We know how to make these headlines and hooks very alluring, very clickbaity. But the people who are going to read those are going to be the clappers, not the action takers. Yeah. So if you make that your whole strategy, your whole following is going to be a bunch of clappers who aren't going to buy your book when it comes out and so on and so forth. You're not building, like on Team Capital, I want real guys and girls too, but people who are actually like, they're going to live a Kaizen lifestyle. They are going to take action 14 hours a day. It doesn't mean you're working for it, but you're constantly in motion, dominating your path, doing what you need to do to live the life that you want. Like you are fully invested and crushing life.
Yeah.
Not like fully invested in reading six things to never do articles today and clap all of them up. There's a big difference in that person.
Yeah, and so I really like this perspective of Instagram that Bedros gave me. He goes, Instagram's the new television. And at first I didn't understand what it meant, because at the time I was only following 3 people on Instagram because I didn't want to see anything. You know, it was like, I only wanted to see what Bedros was doing and you and maybe Jason Ferrugia. And then, in order to get verified and stuff, my team member said, you need to follow like 100 people.
Yeah.
So I started following 100 people, and then it totally clicked, because if you watch one person's story, it bleeds right into the next person's story. And one day, when I first started following all these people, I was like 15 minutes into stories, and I was like, whoa, social media was just used on me.
Yeah.
And now I mute all the stories, except for a few people. But I realize now Instagram is replacing television for people. And that's another reason why I'm really into it. And then to take that television analogy a little bit further, it's much like email. You kind of want, I always used to show up at the same time every day. Yeah. And most of the newsletters that I follow, I know I want them to show up at 12 noon every day or 3 o'clock every day. And so I try and show up at the same time with my Instagram story television show every day.
It's a regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, much like, you know, if you have a Facebook Live, you're going to do it every Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like when most of the people watching, you were still of an age where, you know, the show that I wanted to watch was on, 9:30 in the morning on Saturday. You know, that was the cartoon I wanted to watch. Or, you know, this thing is... this television show was on at Tuesday at 8 o'clock, or every Cavaliers game is 7:30 on Wednesday. It's that consistency. And when you build that, when you do things consistently, and you have a great message, that's the following and the audience that you want. That's a deep, deep, deep following and connection there.
Yeah.
And that's what I go for in my stuff. And I think you nailed it with the clapper syndrome of the list stuff. It might be okay to use some of that in your marketing. Like, don't say, oh, I'm never going to do a list.
Sure.
But realize that it's kind of like the sugary icing on a cake, and even though that draws us to it, it's not what fills us up.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Use it as a lead gen mechanism once in a while, but it should not be your main core strategy.
I realize if you're going to try and build a business on it, it's going to be tough. It's almost like free people.
I mean, and that's why the people I know who use it the most, and I'm not going to say their names, but certain fitness marketers, the majority of the products they sell cost less than $10.
Sure.
Because you're not going to sell a list clapper, something that's more expensive. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Right. Until you take them from a clapper to an action taker.
Yeah.
So have you ever read, I'm sure you've read the 80-20 Principle by Richard Koch. Have you read any of his other books?
No.
You haven't. Okay. I think you should, first of all.
Right.
He's one of the sharpest, like, he's my new, like, monger.
What's he do?
He's just an investor.
Okay.
So he's, for the last 25 years, he's only been an investor.
Got it.
His returns over the last 25 years have been, I think, 2 points higher than Warren Buffett.
Oh, wow.
But he's like 55, 60, and he's worth $600-700 million now. So if you extrapolate, like, Buffett, when he was, they're about the same net worth. It's like, the way I pitch him to people is, imagine if you could befriend Warren Buffett 30 years before he became Warren Buffett.
Got it.
I think he might be that guy.
Yeah.
Brilliant guy. But anyways, 80-20 is this huge thing. Everyone knows Pareto Principle, but I don't think a lot of people genuinely, accurately apply it in their business or in their life, relationships at all.
No, everybody gives a lip service. Everyone's like, the same goes back to the time quotes. Everybody's like, they'll double tap a like on it, but if you look at their life, it's not an 80-20 life.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's disgusting, right? How much more value people could be extracting from what they already have if they could figure out what are the few inputs creating the most output for me.
Right.
And Instagram, I think, is a good place to start learning this principle. For instance, how many people do you follow on Instagram right now? Right. The value that you get from Instagram, I assure you, is probably coming, the 80% or more value you get on Instagram is coming from 20% of the people you follow, if not less. So my thing for you would be is, who are those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe up to 10 people who give you the most value on Instagram? How can you follow them more and stop following all the other riffraff on your Instagram? I think cleaning up a lot of your social media, business media, let me get that right.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's something that's really key for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the same with your email newsletter followings, your Facebook followings, all of your followings. Yeah. Is to definitely call on a regular basis, because that stuff just creeps in. You're like, all of a sudden, how did I get on this list? And I must have bought something from Brendon Burchard years ago, and then I don't know if he switched email providers or he just like started emailing, like, let's just try and send something out to this list again. And now I read, like, I don't think I'm on his main list, but I get some stuff regularly from him, and I learn a lot from it. But it's just like, I was not on this list 3 years ago, and now I'm back on it, even though I didn't buy anything or subscribe to it in the meantime. So sometimes, email just creeps back in. The next thing you know, you thought you were only following on 5 email newsletters, and you're on 15. Yeah. And so regularly, you have to go in, look at your trash, and go, I didn't even read this thing, and I keep on getting it. I got to unsubscribe.
Right. Who's giving me value and who's not?
Yeah.
People who aren't, like, you have to be ruthless in deleting those people from your life. That's one thing, actually, I'm interested in hearing from you, because you're definitely, as the most disciplined man in the world, I think a lot of people think when they first hear that, oh, he's just, like, really focused and he does stuff. What they don't see is that to be the most disciplined man in the world, you have to be ruthless in determining what doesn't get in.
Yeah,
and that's hard for a lot of people, because I don't want to be a mean person. I don't want people to see me as a dick or all this. But it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the underlying theme you need to go with here is, I always use the analogy of, like, everybody's worried, like, oh man, I got to look really great. We're going to the club tonight. We're going, whatever. Okay, if I did a survey the next day, what was maybe not you, but what was Bedros wearing? What was his shirt? Because everyone remember what you're wearing, but what was Bedros' shirt? What was Jay's shirt? What was that girl wearing? What was this girl wearing? And you're like, I don't know, because everybody's more concerned with what they're doing, with how they look, than they are to even observe other people. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I say that is, if you're not friends with somebody, they're not even going to care, because. Or not even notice. So, you don't have to be friends with everybody. You don't have to follow everybody. You don't have to be catching up on everything, because nobody's actually going to care what you're doing. All they care about is themselves.
Yeah.
So think about that. And that just allows you to step back and not follow people. And you know what? If you really, really care about somebody, you'll be in contact with them some way that is actually meaningful.
Sure.
You know, whether calling them on the phone or seeing them or something like that. So you don't have to follow all this stuff. So just go in and be as ruthless as possible.
Yeah.
Because you can always go back and friend somebody. You can always go back and follow somebody. But just see what it's like to go ruthless as possible, as minimal as possible, to cut back and go, okay, see what this freed up for me. Not only in terms of time, but just mental energy. You know, now I'm not stressed out on a Friday at 7 o'clock because, you know, I see that, you know, this crew's having a party and I haven't heard from them, you know. Mm-hmm. If they're not going to let you know, there's no point in knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, and there's a couple things. Like, first of all, I have a personal rule, which is the grass is never greener.
Right.
The grass is never greener. Every time you fall into the fallacy of thinking the grass is greener and you actually go check out and you sniff or touch or taste the grass, you realize, taste the grass, right? But you realize it wasn't even what you made it up to be. What you imagined was much greater than what in reality it is.
Right, always. Because all you see is tip of iceberg. You don't see everything.
Yeah, the grass is never greener, first of all. You're not missing out on anything. That's the first part. Second thing is, like, when I went to Scotland and I'm learning from Dan Pena, one of the things he told me, he said, Jason, his wife's name is Sally. He goes, me and Sally never say yes to an invite. Huh. They never say yes to an invite. They only invite others.
Got it.
So they dictate exactly what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. They're on their path.
Yeah.
They'll invite people at certain times, but if an invite comes in, they never say yes. That's his rule. Now, I'm sure the wife is like, well, damn, maybe let's say yes once in a while. He's like, nope, we never say, like, I can see that happening, right? But that, I think that's really important. And then the last thing is what you're talking about. There's actually a cognitive bias. There's a name for it. And researchers call it the spotlight effect.
Okay.
Have you heard that before?
No, I have not. Okay.
So it's exactly what you just described, where our brain tricks us into thinking people on the outside are paying more attention to us than they actually are. And it's significant. We right. overweigh significantly. There was a study done, I think it was at Boston College, and what they did was, in a normal college class, like 100 rooms in a college lecture hall, they send one kid in there. And they're gonna make him wear, it wasn't a Rod Stewart t-shirt, but it was like a Rod Stewart, like someone really embarrassing you shouldn't be wearing, but
sure.
like a giant picture, the most embarrassing t-shirt this kid could ever wear to this class. And they go, before you go in, what percent of these 100 kids in the room do you think are gonna notice this t-shirt, say something in their mind, make fun of you, whatever, right? And he predicted it would be like, I think 60% is what he thought, 60% of the room would see it. So he goes in, they do the class, and then when they come out, they take each person in the class and they ask him, did you notice the kid wearing the Rod Stewart t-shirt? And it was less than 25% even had an idea that it was actually there. And
right.
and of those ones, they didn't care. No one cares you're wearing an embarrassing shirt or whatever. So, like, we always overestimate how much attention people are paying to us.
That's like that that gorilla basketball dribbling study.
Yeah, where the gorilla walks by and no one sees it. Yeah,
yeah, because exactly. If, you know, everyone's so focused on something else, man, almost anything can happen
and
you won't notice it.
And like you watching this right now, think about this. In the last minute that me and Craig here have been talking, how much of those last 60 seconds were you spent in your own mind thinking about how everything we're saying applies to you? Right, the last 60 seconds, everything we're saying is coming through a filter of it's all self-interest. You're thinking about, how's this apply in my life? Do I care? Should I keep listening? You should, but like, it's all about you. And that's okay, but think about this. If that's you and you're all in your head thinking about yourself, what do you think everyone else is doing?
Right.
They're doing the exact same thing, right? And this is the thing, like one of the greatest discoveries I've ever had teaching guys how to attract women better has nothing to do with attracting women. It has to do with freeing them up and realizing, like, I don't have to be stiff or stifled. I can be free and expressive, and I can be affectionate, and I can be dominant and leading at times. Like, I can just be relaxed and open and free-flowing is what I call it. And the way I train myself to do this is I'd be walking on campus at Michigan State, and I'm surrounded by all these kids there, and I'm realizing, I'm like, when I'm good with girls, I'm free and relaxed. I'm not trying to impress her or prove anything. I'm just present and enjoying the moment, right? When I suck with girls, I'm in my head. I'm like, what should I say? What story should I tell? And it never works. So I'm like, if I could just be relaxed and free-flowing all the time, then I'd be way better with girls. So I was like, well, what's the problem? And I'm like, well, Jason, it's because you give a shit. Right? When you're talking to a girl, you really care what she thinks. That's why you get in your head, and you think you need to tell A story because C story won't work.
Right.
So I'm like, well, if I could just not care, that would be better. So what I did was, I'm walking down the freaking, from campus to like Brody Hall to class, and there's kids everywhere, and my backpack on, I just go like this. I knew you weren't expecting that, I knew that. So that's literally what I just go for like 10, 15, 20 seconds around all these kids. And I do this, make the noise, and I look around, 100 kids everywhere, maybe one looking at me. I'm like, I just did the weirdest thing anyone could ever do, like seizing purposely, and no one gives a shit. And once I started doing this, it became like a default setting for me not to do that, but to, like, when you, if you do that in public, do you know how free you feel after? You're like, I just did the most embarrassing thing ever. There is nothing, like, I'm good for the rest of the day.
Right.
And it really works. I've had thousands of guys now seize purposely like that, and their whole being changes because all those holds, those tensions, those anxieties, they just fade away because you don't care anymore.
That's so great because, like, you think of the flip side, like, there's so many people just in the club, like, you know, posing and posturing and thinking that somebody's looking, and nobody's looking because they're all, like, worrying about how they're posing and posturing and stuff like that.
Exactly.
That's really great.
Exactly. And you know, like, when you're doing a sale or a seduction or anything in between, it's always going well when all the spotlight and attention, it's not on you. It's all on them. That's when you know it's going well. In a sale, if they're doing 90% of the talking, you know it's probably going well. Same thing in a seduction, right? It's the same thing. You stop focusing on yourself and you start putting the attention on the other person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's just keep shifting gears because we're hitting everything right now. You in the last couple of years have really stepped up your sales game also.
Sure.
Your closing game.
Yeah.
Right? What, and I mean, obviously you have a big background in persuasion and copywriting, but sales and the phone and that kind of, that was new for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And so I went to Bedros and we spent a lot of time.
So you invested in a coach. That was one of the first things
you did. Yeah, okay. I paid one of my best friends, if not my very best friend, $30,000 because that was his going rate at the time. I think it's more now, to be a coaching client of his. And we just mapped out how the calls are going to go. And then the huge thing was the role playing. You know, we just did call after call after call. Sitting across the desk and just going back and forth, and his objection here, and, you know, how are you going to prepare for this person and that sort of thing. And it was just like anything else, like, you know, going and asking a girl out or something. You need to get practice doing it.
Yes.
You need to get the experience, and every time it becomes easier and easier and easier.
100%. So what were, like, the key distinctions that you learned that really, like, what are the one, two, or three things that really, the 80-20, that really contribute to the sale being made that you found?
First, you don't talk yourself into a sale, you listen yourself into a sale. So I don't do sales talking, I do sales listening. It's just asking the right questions and then just sit back and let them talk is massive, that's for sure. And then being clear and confident in the call to action, like, hey, listen, I know I can help you, you know I can help you, here's how we're gonna get started. And, you know, the assume the close, I guess, is the old catchphrase. It's just, listen, this is gonna happen eventually. We can, you know, we should make it happen right now.
Yeah.
But you know you're gonna make this happen eventually. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't waste an hour of your day to get on this call with me if you didn't think this should happen.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's make this happen.
And it's not you coming from a manipulative assume the sale thing. It's more of the way I almost think about it in my brain is it's like you're assuming the transformation thing. Like,
right.
You know the transformation is gonna happen if they work with you. Why the hell wouldn't they? So let's just go ahead and we do this. Yeah.
Yeah, and in order to have that, my mindset is, and I'm not like perfect at this, but it's, I need, you know, you need, not I need, but you need my help more than I need your money. Mm-hmm. And if you can go into every sales call like that, you can go in and you can help and make sure that they're feeling good about it and you're not stressful and you're not, like, you know, making them feel uncomfortable because you're so heavy.
Sure.
No, it's just like, listen, I have helped, you know, all these people. This is the help that you want. You know, you're going to make this transformation. You know, see yourself in the future. Let's talk about what problems this is causing right now. Don't you see that this is the answer?
Yeah.
And you know this is the answer, and I've got the information, and you need this information more than I need your money.
Yeah.
So that's why this is going to work, because I don't need your money.
Yeah.
But when you can be that way, it's great.
What's really interesting is, and I know you didn't do this on purpose, but when you just did, like, kind of your replication of what you sound like on the call, did you notice your tonality completely changed?
Yeah.
Were you aware of that? Is that something you worked on, or...
I think it's a relaxation tone of voice.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, so Jordan Belfort would call it the reasonable man tonality.
You're oh, yeah.
It's the reasonable man. Like, come on, you know it, I know it.
I remember.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking of Jordan Belfort today because, you know, Vince is talking about going to some sales training. And I was like, man, I remember when I went to the Jordan Belfort training and I still use the concept of the straight line of success, you know, not letting the conversation get too far off into the weeds,
yes,
which is what a lot of people do. And it's just all about having a select set of questions that keeps moving people down the path. Because first of all, you don't want the conversation to go on for too long.
Right. Well, you're busy. Your time is
right.
Everyone's time is valuable, but to Craig, his time is like
super valuable. So you want to keep him on the path. You want to get him to see your side of the thing as quickly and as purposely as possible. And then I guess the third thing to add to all of that is I am politely persistent. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I will help you. Not that I can help you. I know that I will help you. Mm-hmm. And listen, let's get this done quickly. And then if you're like, if for some reason you just will not let me help you right now, I am going to stay in touch with you. I'm going to add value to you. Like just with direct messaging, whenever I'm in the back of an Uber and I have nothing to do, I'll just go and I'll go through all the people who we've had calls with, or most of the time it's not people we've had calls with, most of those people are clients, but the people who have reached out after a story or something, and I'll just, I'll send them something. I'll say, hey, I was thinking of you the other day, and here's another little tip to get you moving ahead, and nudge me when you're ready for the workshop sort of thing. It's just politely persistent, always showing up as a welcome guest, not an uninvited pest, as Dan Kennedy would say.
I love that. Welcome guest. So you mentioned questions, though, right? There's certain questions you ask to keep it on the straight line and away from the weeds. What are a couple of those like questions you find yourself asking on every call?
Great. So the first thing is, hey, just tell me how you're, first of all, we just connect socially.
Sure.
We connected and you know him, I know him. Great. We're friends. We built some rapport. And then it's like, all right, tell me about how well your business is doing right now. And then they go in, they like to brag and talk about it, or in some cases they are struggling, so they might go right into some pain stuff. But I just want to know, I want to get a really good concept of their business in a short amount of time. And then it's like, okay, congratulations, you're doing amazing, Jason. Now tell me how you're getting overwhelmed with opportunity here and intoxicated with opportunity and what problems that's causing.
Yeah.
Because everybody who's successful is going to have too many opportunities, or they might be working too much, or whatever it is.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, well, what would you like to see? How would you like to see that change? What would you like to change in your life, because of it? So they start to paint the picture of, here's how I want things to be.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, can I tell you a story about how I helped somebody just like you? And then, now we go into the social proof of it. Well, I helped, I'm trying to think. Oh, so I had this guy named Justin to my workshop the other day. He just sold his business to the Golf Channel. He's a very successful guy.
Yeah.
And he's, building that business up still, because he's still on a part of it. And it was just like, what do you want the future to look like? And so that was the next level of it. And they paint the picture. So we painted the picture of where the problems are. We painted the picture of where we want to be. And it's that traditional gap that a lot of sales folks talk about. And then I say, I bring in that social proof and show somebody how I filled the gap for somebody else and gave them results. And then I'll go on and say, talk a little bit about, why they came to me. Why did you seek me out for help? Oh, it's because, you're this, you're that, this person told me about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so you trust those people.
Yeah.
You trust those people, and obviously you're interested in this. I mean, we're not just here because we're filling time. We're here for a reason. And obviously this is something you want. So do you see how I can, because what you said is what I do, so you see how I can get you from where you are right now to where you want to be. Yes, I see that. And then that's essentially where we just finish things off.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
It's selling, coaching, and consulting is a very kind of straightforward process if you know what the hell you're talking about. Like, if you have that conviction, that expertise, that you can help them beyond a shadow of a doubt, which you have, selling is very straightforward. It's very simple. And they really would be foolish not to say yes.
Yeah, I think it would almost be like a challenge to see how few words you could say. Could I get this done in 25 words if I just asked five-word questions?
That would be pretty amazing.
It would be amazing, but essentially that's what it is. It's just guiding them along the path, because they know that you can help them. They know that, because otherwise they wouldn't be there. They know they need help. Obviously, again, they wouldn't be there. They know where they want to be, what they want to change, how they want their life to look. So you just ask them those questions, and then it should be a logical solution at the end, that a logical and an emotional conclusion at the end, that this is the right thing for us. And that is Jordan Belfort's straight line of success. So those questions keep you from going too far away from that straight line.
It's just super efficient all the way. Yeah, it's. I was so this weekend at FBS, I was talking to Brandon Carter. Did you get to?
I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
All right, I'll connect to you guys. Cool. He's great. Brandon's awesome. But I was talking with him, and he recently hired a coach for his business, and it was like a sales coach, Taki Moore, who I don't know if you're familiar with.
I was just talking to him on Facebook the other day.
Okay, yeah. So Taki's awesome also. But Brandon was like, yo, Taki had the laziest, best close that I had ever heard on the phone. He closed them for a pretty significant amount of money. And obviously, the value Brandon will get will far exceed the investment. That, if you get a good coach, that's what happens. But at the end of the call, it's 10 or 15 minutes, Taki just goes, all right, Brandon, so where do you think we should go from here? And Brandon just laid out exactly, I think we should, like, it assumes it, it puts the... Like, because if you're like, all right, well, here's what I got, and the here's what you got, your presentation isn't exactly what they want it to be, then there's going to be a disconnect. Right. So if I say to you, well, where do you think we should go from here? Whatever the hell you describe, and you're like, I really wish that, you're like, great, well, that's the program, actually. So let's get started, right? It's very, very simple. Another good friend of mine, Dan Locke, who was actually here last week, who you know, fellow Canadian.
I've been connecting with all his high-ticket closers on LinkedIn recently. It's like one of them started, and now I'm like connected to 50 of them.
You're getting tons of them, yeah.
And he'll be at your thing?
He will be there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting him in person.
He's going to kick ass, yeah. He's awesome. We had a little private mastermind.
I saw that the other day. I was slightly envious.
I'll share some stuff once these cameras go off. There was some good stuff shared there. But one of the things he talks about, because he's got this awesome high-ticket closer program, which I recommend to all my guys who are interested in it. But when you're on the phone, and it gets kind of the point of, well, what am I getting? Like, what's the thing? He goes, first of all, I almost never tell them what it is on the phone. Like, and he's right. No one cares what it is. They just want to know, is it going to solve my pain? That's it. But his thing is, if they ask him, well, what's in it? Like, what am I actually getting? Because a certain percentage of prospects need to hear that. He just goes, well, what would you like to be in it? Whatever the hell they say. Fantastic. That's exactly what it is. And then you just nudge them forward. It's a really strong close. Because when you go into the features and benefits, no one really cares. You don't even care that much to say that stuff.
Right.
And two, they're like, anytime you're coming at someone with features and benefits and advantages, you are igniting their objection mechanism.
Right.
That's the only time
you're talking yourself out of the sale.
Literally, in most cases. So if they ask you, like, because I get that sometimes, especially with our phone team, and they want to know, well, what's in it? I tell them, don't just go into the present. Like, we don't have a presentation. It's what would you like to see in it? And then typically what they say is what we have. And if it's a little bit different, we can tweak it. That's easy.
Sure.
We can make sure it meets their needs. Now we're not projecting onto them what we think it should be. We're meeting the prospect's needs, which is all sales is. Yeah.
Man, that was helpful.
Good. Glad. Yeah, bro. Awesome. All right, so you are speaking at the High Status Summit.
Yes, I'm so excited for this.
So why did you love speaking at the High Status Summit last year?
All right, so I spoke last year in front of everything from financial advisors with, you know, $20 million net worths to internet marketers to, fitness people, obviously, and then High Status Summit. And so I'm like, this is going to be interesting because, you know, I've never spoken at this event before. And I walk in, it's like all like guys just, you know, who are really raving Jason Capital fans. And then I get on stage and everybody's looking at me at the same time, which is very unusual for a group of 400 people or 500 people.
Yeah.
They're all looking at me. And then after about 10 minutes, they're still all looking at me. And this is great. I'm like, my goodness, I must be on point today.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, they're still all looking at me and taking notes and so interested, on the edge of their seats. And it wasn't like I told some great story that I'd never told before. It was just because they were there and hungry to learn. And that was really cool. And it was a great environment. I really, you know, the room was great. It was just well set up. Energy was awesome. And so that really made my day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
I remember you posted on IG after, and you're like, this was the best audience of the last
year. It seriously hit me, man. It was really cool.
It's awesome. And the audience is going to be even better this year. So if you're coming, I just create a reputation for you to live up to, by the way.
Yeah.
But it really, we're going to have, we've never had this many people buy tickets already.
Oh, good.
For the event. So it's going to be more than we've ever had, which is great because we're growing faster than ever, but it's going to be like, we're going to rock the freaking house. Yeah. Yes. Energy is going to be insane, which is what we
do. And your speaker lineup. I mean, I just want to see so many people.
Right, yeah, we got some gnarly people coming in. So that's going to be awesome. You're obviously going to kill it, as you always do. Someone at home is watching. They're considering coming to the summit. What are you going to teach them, and what's that going to do for them if they decide to come to the summit?
I don't know.
You don't know what you're teaching yet.
What do you want me to teach? Well, let me ask you this. What would you like my presentation to look like?
There we go. So, truthfully, I think one thing that would be really, really killer is here's actually an idea just popped in my head. So you have gotten so much better socially than maybe you were 5-10 years ago, yeah. Right? It's not even close. You like incredibly open and like coming from the heart. But you're a guy who's naturally an introvert, naturally not super social, and yet you're one of the most connected people in the entrepreneurial community, maybe on the planet. You know everybody. Yeah, that's fun. Everyone knows you. If you call them, they answer. If you text them, they answer. If you want to get dinner, they're there. Like you, like I think you said an IG the other day, like you go to any city, you got five people everywhere. And they're not five losers. They're five winners, right?
I actually, when I was in Salt Lake City the other week, I had to keep it quiet because I felt bad about the people who I know in Salt Lake City who I couldn't get to because I was only there for 48 hours.
Because you're just too popular now.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a really, I don't know if you've even thought about this or like workshopped it yet, but I think that presentation, that story about how you did that, because every good movie, like the main character, he always goes through two transformations, right? There's the outer world transformation, mm-hmm. which is like he goes from rags to riches or whatever, and the inner transformation where he overcomes the fear, whatever it is, and now it's a hero's journey. There's two of them going on at the same time. This presentation, in my opinion, has both of those. There's the outer transformation where now you're connected to everybody, right? But the inner transformation also where you turn this introvert thing into an advantage for you and you somehow use it to propel you to like knowing freaking everybody.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun to talk about and I could talk about it for a long, long time. So I'll dial it in.
And in particular, because like as an introvert, like when I do the Myers-Briggs testing, I get different results sometimes. Depending
sure.
on, like, by the
I
way,
like the test.
The thing you guys have to realize is depending on the state that you are in when you take the test determines your answers to the questions. So if you're in like a really pumped up state, your answers are going to be different than if you're in a nonchalant state.
I just hate those tests because I could, there's so many, like I call myself a chameleon because I can fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
So I could fit in with, you know, really poor people. I can fit in with people that are foul mouth. I can fit in, like I was in Salt Lake City, which is, you know, obviously Utah is full of Mormons. I can fit in with those people. I can fit in with anybody. And so when you get those tests, I'm like, well, yeah, it could be that or it could be that. And so I always end up with this like mediocre, like middle of the road response, like with DISC or with Myers-Briggs or I forget one of the recent ones I did. It was just so stupid. It's like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
But going back to all of this, we had talked about like I could only talk on at High Status Summit on Saturday afternoon because I'm going to be coming from this group, this travel group that I'm in with billionaires, literal billionaires, like no-name billionaires, guys who made all their money like in the dark. And so I'm going to be hanging around these people all weekend and then jumping over to High Status. And it just shows you like I'm networking with these people like Silicon Valley guys and people from who live all around the world, commodity traders, really interesting people. Hollywood people and music people and authors, and it's just how am I a farm boy connected to these people, and it's through the systems that I'll be able to and the techniques and just the day-to-day methods that I use to be connected to them,
which I think is so cool because not only farm boy from Canada but lazy farm boy
farm boy with introverted tendencies who would rather be in his hotel room than doing anything else is able to have like this really incredible network of people where I can go to not just any city in America, but pretty much any country in the world and be able to hang out with a local who's a good friend.
Yeah, that's going to be killer. So if someone listening is coming to the summit, they're going to hear you teach on this, not only in detail with the systems. So if you're lazy too, they still work for you, but for the first time ever.
Yes, this is the first time ever. Yeah. And this is really great for those people who are like, I really want to go and learn from Jason, but I don't want to, you know, I'm kind of like, I don't want to be in a room with all these strangers and stuff. I have mastered that as the type of person who, you know, I went to my first big internet marketing seminar in 2007, and I was really introverted back then, really had those introverted tendencies. And some of the people I met at that event are still really good friends of mine to this day. And I was able to overcome and shake those cobwebs, and I can teach you how to go to an event and really have go in there with status or what me and my friends call a position of strength, which comes from presetting and everything. And you can go in, and my friends also call it network infiltration. And so you can infiltrate a network of any kind in any city, in any country around the world, using position of strength, using high status principles, and really just go and live like a king anywhere because you know the right people.
Right. And if you're at home and you don't like the money you're making, or if your bank account, you look at it and you're not impressed by what you see, or it gets you down or stressed, or bills stack up or whatever, like, well, we know your network is your net worth. Could there be a faster shortcut to increase your money than to upgrade your network?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what happens when you come to events like
this. Yeah, one of your 2-minute conversations. Like, and that's what Vince made his Instagram story video about today, about being at FBS. He said a 2-minute conversation with Amanda Bucci about Instagram made his investment back. And a 2-minute conversation with you about selling his book made his money back, but really 10x'd it. And you know, a workout with Brian DaCosta, who is Amanda's boyfriend, at the gym led to a conversation that, you know, 10x'd his money. Mm-hmm. And so these are, he had 5 2-minute conversations, and that wasn't even counting all the stuff that he learned in the event, exactly, all the people that he met, and, you know, the opportunities that he's gotten from it. So it's those conversations. I mean, if you can't go and 100x your investment in an event like High Status, then you're just not doing any work at all.
Yeah, and this isn't...
You would have to go there with, like, blindfold on and earplugs in order not to be successful.
And I will rip that shit off and make sure the value gets
right
in. Like, you don't have a choice, right?
Right.
But this really, this isn't even a pitch for the High Status Summit. This is a pitch for them at home, for you at home, to start leaving your couch, stepping outside the front door, and going to live events. Especially in a world where Facebook and Instagram and all these other institutions are programming your brain to stay at home and stay disconnected, you have to 10x your effort to get out, get off the couch, and go to live events and network and be around people.
I was thinking that before when we were talking about, you know, using business media and that sort of stuff, and I was hoping that it was going to come up, but nothing is as powerful as a live event. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting more live events into my world and my business, because it's almost like an old school approach to marketing, much like I love publishing books, and I think books are still an important part of your system. But live events, I mean, you cannot go deeper with a person, make a connection. I mean, I saw guys walking to dinner and to lunch at your event who just, they did not know each other before, and they're brothers now, and you're gonna go to, like, High Status and come, you know, get in that brotherhood. When you go to High Status, you're going to have guys in a dozen, maybe 20 different countries that you'll be able to go parachute into that country and live like a king, because your friend, your new friend from High Status, is gonna wanna show you off, like, oh, my man came from LA all the way to Dublin to hang out with us here. I met him at this High Status conference, and he's just gonna, like, show you every girl and every amazing opportunity in Dublin, because, I mean, that's what it's about. And it's just amazing, no matter, you know, if you're a farm boy from Ireland, a farm boy from Canada can do it. So you make sure you're going to be there.
Damn straight. Yeah. So if you don't have your ticket yet, like I said, we are almost sold out of tickets right now. In fact, if you see this and you go to the page and you try to buy a ticket and it doesn't work, that means you're already too late. All tickets have been taken. But if you get this in time, use the link. We're going to put it right in the description. HSS2018.com. Go to the page. Grab your ticket, secure your seat before they're all gone, because this really will be, we're only doing this once per year. You already know all the reasons why. The only reason I can truthfully say someone wouldn't come is because they haven't committed yet. You haven't committed to living at a new level, to growing your business, to moving out of the shitty apartment with roommates that you don't like into the freaking penthouse. Like, you have to make that mental decision, that mental commitment first before you actually start taking actions in accordance with it. So if you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't know, I got this going on, I got this, like, dude, shut the fuck up, take an action and come. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. Like, I don't care. You will see at this event that we're gonna change your life. And the tickets are cheap as hell. Literally, for the exact, we lose money on the event. Like, I literally lose money on the event because I wanna do as much as I can to get guys in that room, because I know the shifts and changes that happen once I get my paws on you in that room, you'll never be the same. And that's it.
That's what the power of live events, with a mentor who can lead you, can totally change your life.
100%.
Well, and where do we meet? At a live event.
Damn straight we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 years ago.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, I got nothing left. I think Craig has delivered enormous amounts of value here. I really appreciate you sharing all that with
us. No problem. We're going to go with another California handshake.
Wait, California is going to be... Wait. We missed, yeah. Perfect. So on that very California cool ending to this discussion, I don't even know what you, round table, hot fire. This was fun.
This was great.
This was really good. So thank you guys.
We'll call it a mano a mano.
A mano a mano.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Well, it was amazing, whatever the hell we're going to call it. Thank you so much for spending your time here and really choosing to, like, you could have been on Instagram instead of watching this. You could have been reading some stupid list on Mashable or something or Facebook instead of this. What you just did here, this isn't about listening to me or listening about Craig. It's about the fact that you're taking the actions that are consistent with someone who is an action taker, who is an eagle, who is a winner, who's going to live life at the highest level, the high status life. So thank you so much for that, because that's what I truly care about. If you, this is new, for this channel for you, this Team Capital thing, make sure you subscribe to the channel, because we got way more stuff coming out for you and you don't want to miss out on that. On that note.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
Listen to this twice. At least.
At least. The winners will listen to it three times.
Absolutely.
They will. All right, you want to get lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get lunch. All right, we'll see you guys later. Peace.
Wow, what a show. We could have kept going and going and going, but we had to finish up this, you know, hour and a half interview to go and meet the founder of a billion-dollar real estate company, and we were going to have lunch in an El Fresco restaurant overlooking the billion-dollar California coastline. It was an amazing day, but that's another story for another show. But what I want you to do is let me know what you thought of today's interview. Head over to iTunes and give us a review and 5-star ranking. Really appreciate that. And don't forget what we revealed in today's episode about making money, investing your money, and spending your money on what matters so that you can make a massive impact on the world. That's what this young man, Jason Capital, has been doing since we first met about 9 years ago, and what he's been doing faster than ever in the last year since he went through my Perfect Life Workshop program. Now, as Jason says, with my coaching, you can create your perfect days and have total work-life mastery, all right? So that's why you need me as your coach too, just like Jason did, to walk you through a proven step-by-step blueprint for success. In addition to that, you're going to get the accountability that I'm giving to my clients like Jason, like the billion-dollar real estate man, Sharon Srivatsa, Super Bowl champion, Steve Weatherford, and eight-figure female business owners like Shanda Sumter and Isabel de los Rios, along with thousands of other entrepreneurs in dozens of industries. So let's get you started on your coaching journey and give you the accountability you need to succeed. Visit perfectlifeworkshop.com to apply to work with me at my next coaching event near you.